Well, none of us would have guessed what happened throughout the year of 2019, either around the world or in a country or in your own personal life. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't be able to put one day together and say, yeah, everything happened exactly how I thought it would happen in any one day that God had given you. And yet it's good to celebrate God's faithfulness together. We can't say this with confidence because we sang it throughout 2019. Something happened to you greatly, pardon for sin, and a peace that endures, God's own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all yours with 10,000 besides. Great is God's faithfulness to you last year and this year and forever and ever. So that's part of the truth of God's word. And God in his Bible, you might say, sent us about 22 really good Christmas cards concerning his son. The 22 Christmas cards, we'll call them letters. They begin in Romans and all the way through the book of Revelation. So good news Christmas cards from every letter in the Bible. And if you find your faith waning at the end of 2019 or a little bit shaky about 2020, Paul would tell you and God would tell you, your faith will come by hearing God's word. So you spend those last couple days, you know, saying, okay, God, tell me more about yourself. Whether it's in the Bible itself, said on the radio, heard over the computer, sung in a song, your faith will come by hearing God's word. And John Wycliffe, who loved the Bible, gave his life so people could read the Bible in English, said to know the Bible is to know Christ. And to be ignorant of the Bible is to be ignorant of Christ. So it's possible to be a Christian, it's possible to be a follower of Jesus, and be an ignorant Christian. Because you did not look into what God had to say. And so we have access to good news, 22 Christmas cards, which are pretty special. People have been reading for 2,000 years. So to build our faith up in 1 John, one of the Christmas cards gives us news of assurance of salvation. And some good themes here in the last part of the letter. John lets us know that he writes this letter with two purposes. First one's in the first chapter. Second one's in the fifth chapter. First chapter, he says, we write this to you so that our joy would be complete. So he knew the Christians were up against it. They didn't have joy without Christ. So he said, you could have joy because your fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, and with one another. So if you heard the song, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come, and you're wondering, you know, can it last all the way to December 28th over here? A bit fatigued and so forth. But joy to the world, the Lord is come. John wrote this letter so that your joy might be complete. A fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. God will change your life, not only in reference to God, but in reference to other people. Fellowship with one another. And then he gives a second reason why he wrote this letter, Christmas card. 1 John 5:13. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now that's when the two Baptist laymen shared that verse with me when I was 18, I almost quit college and, you know, joined the happiest group in town or whatever I could find. But it was such good news that any Christian, a young Christian, a floundering Christian, a solid Christian, could know they had eternal life. You have life with God now. You're going to heaven now with an absolute assuredness from God's word itself. That's incredible. You know, about half the people gathered in different churches around the world, and not to criticize them, we have weaknesses, which we would all tell the Lord about. But in some large groups, you know, they say, you really can't know if you're going to go to heaven or not. You really can't know. You got to wait till you die. And then God will let you know at that point.
you know, whether you made it or didn't make it, or whether you have to do time served or something like that. But God in His Bible says, look, you can have eternal life now. And you can know where you're going when your life is over. And this is a gift of God. Not because of works, so no one can boast. So John, he's writing us about assurance for the believer, warning for the folks who were not trusting Christ, looking for something else. Here's how he starts off, mentioning the criticalness of faith. Start off with faith, to trust Christ. Everyone that believes Jesus is the Messiah is born of God. So what about this born again? You know, what is that? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? To believe means heart affection and trust. It's not just thinking, oh, that's probably true, you know, just like some fact, but the truth that has changed your life. Everyone that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, or is the Christ, is born of God. And then verse 5, how are we going to keep going to overcome the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Key word in both passages, of course, Jesus, Son of God, and belief. Belief. Belief is a big deal in the Bible. Francis Schaeffer would say it's your empty hands saying, I trust God. I believe Him. No matter what happens. I don't trust in our own understanding. We trust 100% in the Lord. And it's a wonderful way to begin a walk with God and to continue to walk with Him. So the gift of faith, it involves heart affection. It involves yielding and surrender. All those are synonyms for faith, true faith in Christ. And, you know, with when we think of our need for faith, we realize that it's a definite yes or no, trust God. I remember E.V. Hill, he was a preacher back in the 70s and 80s. His wife died unexpectedly, and it was a terrible tragedy. He was brokenhearted, and he's preaching her funeral service. And he was trying to share, you know, how he felt, and that was effective, and some good memories. And he said, what was God telling him at that moment of, you know, lowest point in his life? He said, God was telling him, trust me. Trust me. And he was, as a preacher, yelling, you know, trust me, trust me, trust me. God says that to us about His Son. Trust Christ. Put your faith in Him. Believe in Him. You'll overcome the world if you do. If you trust in yourself, you'll be defeated every day. But to trust Him and be born of God, what a gift He would give us. And moving along in the passage, you know, right after He says, believe in God, and this is how you love God, to obey His commands. And it says, His commands are not burdensome. How do you know you're born of God? It's because when God tells you something, you don't say, ugh. When you were growing up, how did you know you loved your parents? Because when they said, do this, you did it. I love my parents. I'm going to do that. You know, the teacher in school says, turn to page 78 in your book. And you say, I love that teacher. 78, you know, give me 78. I'll be the first one there. Preacher tells you something, you say, well, that's his opinion, you know. What's that? You know, God sends you news and word, so you express love by obeying His commands. His commands aren't burdensome. Nobody has to twist your arm to go worship God. Nobody has to coax you to go and pray with other believers, you know, because you love God. And to love God is to obey Him. Loving God is not so much involved in our emotions. It's not how excited we are, although that's a nice thing. But it's rather whether we say yes to what He says. And so anybody could love God. You could love God because you're born of God and you overcome the world by trusting Christ. So commands aren't burdensome. We love God by doing that. And then further on in the passage, I wanted to kind of go through somewhat of a verse-by-verse
talks about the witnesses of the Spirit and the blood of Jesus and the water that Jesus was born a human being. They agree that God would point us to His Son. And then we start to get where the rubber meets the road. A couple verses you could share with your soul and maybe share with a Christian friend or family member. It starts off by saying, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. So there it is. And His life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. You could share that with your soul and with another person. It's a yes-no question. It's a question like, are you married? Are you married? Yes or no? The person knows right away. Well, yes. Or, well, no. Do you have the Son? Is it a big yes? Or is it a sad no? And I don't know is a no. Okay. And I don't know is a no. If you don't know you're married, you're not married. Or at least your spouse would tell you. But for Jesus, you know, he would say, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then some assurance for us believers. We're imperfect. We know in part. We obey only with God's help. And so he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Yes, you have the Son, so that you might know you have eternal life. And what a wonderful thing to know what's happening to you now, who you belong to, God, and who you're going to belong to at the end of life and at the end of history. You're going to belong to God if you know Christ. You know, children who grow up in homes where mom and dad says, I love you no matter what, you'll always belong in our heart of love, and you can count on that as much as you can count on the sun rising tomorrow. They go through life with a lot of confidence and, you know, feeling loved, and they have the ability to give and receive love. It's a fantastic thing. If they grow up in a situation where mom and dad says, well, I'll let you know if I love you or not, or I don't know if you're going to be in or out of the family from year to year, and at the end of your life, you know, we might just disown you, that person is going to grow up like anxious, unsure, and freaked out about everything. So as a Christian, you don't want to be anxious and unsure and freaked out about things in reference to God. That you have the Son, you have life. You may know you have eternal life, life now and forever with God. So it's a wonderful gift. It was a life changer for me, and still is. That verse is... brings joy to my soul. How does it happen? God speaks, Charles Wesley's testimony, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive, mournful and broken hearts rejoice, humble poor believe. We can mourn of loss or mourn of sin. We're broken about that in the messed up world. But we can have joy from Christ because we have eternal life. And humble poor believe. We know our need. And we're spiritually bankrupt. But we trust God. So we have the gift of eternal life. And Aquinas, when he thought of the Lord, all the good things he wrote about God, he said, just a little bit of time with God. He had fellowship with God, and everything he wrote was like straw in comparison. He couldn't praise God enough. Pretty good. So here's two. I put down two paraphrases of 1 John 5:13, a real assurance verse. Underline it in your Bible, commit it to memory, share it with people to direct them to yourself. This is the Amplified Version, some good news. I write these things to you who believe in, means adhere to, trust in, rely on, the name of the Son of God, Jesus. Now, God has a plan. His name is Jesus. And love was the reason he was sent. That you may know with settled absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life. Man. As I mentioned Christmas Eve, no medical doctor in the world can couldn't tell this to you, but God did. Eternal life with God, now and forever. And Message Bible, recommended by J.I. Packer, puts it this way. You who believe in God's Son will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. Life with God now and forever. Thank God for that gift, you know, of assurance. Solid foundation. You have a place to stand when the year ends and the new year begins. When you look back on 2019 and, you know, you spend time confessing your sin, you can just say, oh, a lot of tears that I caused God. Or you could say, but the forgiveness was stronger. And this year is bright because Jesus is the light of the world, 2020. So that's the truth of it all. Not even what happens. The truth that Jesus is the light of the world. And so the assurance of salvation that God would give you. Fanny Crosby, a blind gal, you know, liked to sing. And even throughout her life, she had a point, I think it was as a young person, where she said, I know I'm not trusting Christ. So she surrenders and turns to Him. And she writes a song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. It's like a taste of heaven divine. And she wasn't all emotionally amped up all the time, I'm sure. Ran into things, being blind, you know, got tired. But a taste of heaven, yes, I have that because of Jesus. I'm an heir of salvation. I'm purchased by God. I'm born of His Spirit. I'm washed in His blood. And this is my story. And I'm sticking with it. Okay. So that's it. And God's sticking with us. To believe in God's Son beyond a shadow of a doubt, we'll have eternal life. And all the, you know, the false teaching going around in the time of 1 John and you know, things we wander into, hey, that's God stronger than all that. So we trust Him with the empty hands of faith. We're not going to go there yet, but we're going to go into two other things that God helps us with when we have that assurance. Please take that assurance from God. Your confidence is in Him. John's concerned about his Christian brothers too, verse 16. If anybody sees his brother commit a sin, doesn't lead to death, pray for them. And then what about the sin to death? What is all those sin that leads death, sin not leads death? The death at that point is like absolute separation from God. It's if a person rejected Christ, that would be the sin that leads to death. You can pray for that one, but here John said, I want you to just pray for the other stuff. Pray for the sins that don't reject Christ, but still are very painful. Okay. So don't just take one verse, you know, and say, well, it says don't even pray for the lost person right here. No, the emphasis on praying for the people who are brothers. Okay. Other places tell you to pray for the lost. But so there's a sin that doesn't lead to death. Pray for one another about that. And then we know the sin that besets us. We're not wedded to that. We're wedded to Christ. Verse 18. We know everybody born of God doesn't continue to sin. There's being practiced and committed to that. I'm going to live my life on my own. That's continuing in sin. The one born of God keeps him safe. That's Jesus. He keeps us safe with God. So we're not going to go to sin direction. And the evil one cannot harm him. So the devil can't say, you're mine, you know, follow me, because your heart's not with him. No. I belong to God. And so the evil one cannot harm him. He can lead us in the wrong direction, but cannot bring harm to our relationship with God. We're like Job. We might go through trials sent directly from evil. Most of our trials are just because of the broken world, but a lot of trials sent directly from evil, but that's not going to harm our relationship with God. Job was still Job throughout the story, a believer. God was still God throughout the story. God's still God in your life. And the evil one cannot touch you. And in verse 19, we know we are children of God. There's some assurance again. And the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, sometimes we read verse 19 and we say, I knew it. I knew it. You know, the wind, the devil, he runs the wind and he probably, you know, makes it cloudy. And, you know, I hit my toe and so the devil made me hit my toe, you know. It's the whole world under control of the evil one. See, did you hear the news? Did you see the music? Did you go to the public school? It's like, oh, I knew the whole thing was under the control of the evil one. Wait, hey, calm down. Okay, from Genesis to Revelation, it says the whole world is under the sovereign control of the Lord. Okay, the Lord. He rules heaven and earth. And so the world that the devil has control of is only those who are rejecting Christ. That's the world he is having control over. It's like he has control over no one unless that person says, oh, I'll reject Christ and I'll go my own way. It's like the keys of your car. The evil one cannot take over your life until you say, this is not for Christ, this is for me. And oh, by the way, I'm just being like you, the devil, under the control of the evil one. And of course, the devil's under control of God. So beware of the tragic pain of those under control. You know, they're going in sin. We know what that's like to reject Christ. But rather to say God can bring life where there is no life. And we know that the Son of God has come. And we know him who is true, John keeps writing. And we know he who is true, Jesus, and he's the true God and eternal life. So, to beware of evil in the world, but to not be thinking it has the upper hand. You know, if you know Jesus, you're not going to think evil has the upper hand. God is God, and your trust will be in him. And whatever part of life people give to the devil, That's the tragedy of sin and rebellion, you know. But the Lord's not going to be stopped. He's doing things. He doesn't back down from evil. So we have that. And then the little word of great encouragement. Dear children, keep yourself from idols. Watch putting anything in your life more important than God. Okay, we all have those idols. We want to say Christ is so great. His gift of eternal life, so wonderful. How can we put everything under him? Everything under him. And just the words of a closing part of the assurance. You know, Fanny Crosby, she's, oh, that you might know you have eternal life. So her closing words about assurance was this: perfect submission. I trust God. Trust Jesus. All is at rest. My soul's resting in him. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Mostly about him, for sure. Watching and waiting. Try to be on my spiritual toes. You're allowed to collapse. You're allowed to take a nap. You're allowed to rest. Watching and waiting. Looking above. Filled with his goodness. Lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the year long, all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. That wonderful testimony God would give us in his good word. And lean on him. Thank him for the gift of himself. And have some assurance and confidence about you as a child of God. And It's you know, heaven's going to ring with a lot of praises with how his children lean on him. Even if we look in a panic or fearful or whatever, God's faithful to help us take the next step of following Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for each one here. Thank you for this blessed assurance that we don't want to take for granted, but we know where our next step is. It's in fellowship with God. We know where this present moment is. Friendship with you. We know what the end of our physical life is. The place you prepared for us. So what a story we have to tell. And we know we'll be kept humble along the way. We'll fall down enough to remind us that the strength is yours, not ours. The battle is yours, not ours. So bless your dear children in the very providential year of 2020, where the invitation is given to our own souls to walk with you every day, and to say from the time the sun rises to the time it goes down, Jesus' name will be praised. And that makes us very happy. In your name we pray. Amen.